Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to another episode of Play Breakers. We're excited to be here with y'all. Had a little bit of a break. Had a couple things we had to take care of. Fellas, how we doing?
Amazing.
My cholesterol's not great.
Has it ever been great, though?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely inspiring stuff here, guys. As I said, excited to be back. Took a little time off, had to do a couple things, had some work stuff come up. But we are going to keep moving along with our divisional breakdown. And this week, we are going to be talking about the NFC North. A pretty interesting division, to say the least, because there's going to be a lot of moving parts with it. And presumably, the number one first overall pick in the draft, Caleb Williams, is going to be a Chicago Bear. Guys, before we jump into anything, any topics you want to get into, any news that has come up? I know as Giants fans, Darren Waller is just stringing you along. Don't know if you all are ready to start throwing things, but I'll toss it over to you.
I mean, it's kind of a shame because we've already done both the AFC South and we've done the AFC East, because this past week we had the Diggs trade,
and we sure did. Yeah,
I feel the need to kind of sit here and talk with you guys about that and unpack that a little bit. How do you guys feel about that one?
It's a weird deal, right? I kind of understand the thought process, but you give up those picks and then ultimately, essentially, kind of rework his deal, so it's essentially a one-year contract now. I get that he's like 30 at this point, so they're kind of shielding themselves from potential, you know, long-term contract, but it just kind of weird for me. I don't really think I understand, because now you're either expecting that he's not going to be part of the team after this year, or you're going to have to now rework a contract for him. It's still a win for the Texans in my mind. I don't know what the Buffalo Bills are going to do, because, you know, Gabe Davis leaves in free agency. I mean, Khalil Shakir is the first receiver on that depth chart now. That's now, granted, it is a really good year to have a needed wide receiver, but it is interesting because this seems like this is kind of now setting it up for, like, Josh, you're going to have to elevate this team, where we can't afford to be putting all these people around you. So now you have to be the guy. So it's interesting. I'm actually curious to see how it goes.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting from both perspectives. And I think the Texans are really interesting, because I'm not exactly sure why they went out and got him. Because you're going to get a guy who the last couple of years in Buffalo was struck me as somebody who was kind of unhappy with the way things were going. And You put him on that 1 year deal it's effectively like a prove it deal, right? Like, hey man, if you want to get like the bag from us, you're going to actually have to show up and play and elevate this team. And then from the other side, from the Bills, I think they are going full rebuild mode, because they have just stripped away everything from this team. But I'm also looking at the Buffalo Bills page, and again, this is from April 9th, so yesterday. They have 10 picks in this upcoming draft.
Yeah,
I'm really curious. Do they make a play for Marvin Harrison?
I was just, you know what? It's so funny that you said that, because I was literally thinking about that the other day. That if they wanted to get aggressive and go for number 5, because I think the Chargers are like really kind of looking at their roster and it's not good. Mm-mm. And I think they really need a retool, because if Jim Harbaugh wants to build this team within his image, because I anticipate that like 4 or 5 is going to have to be the spot, right? But if Minnesota makes a play for number 4 to get JJ McCarthy, then at least 5, where you got Neighbors and, you know, Harrison and all those guys sitting there, do they make a move for Marv? It would be a Julio-esque type of move, right? Like,
yeah,
it would be very similar to what the Falcons did back then. Like, you have a guy, they had Matt Ryan and they wanted to get him that one big piece. I think it would be a smart move, honestly. But at the same time, a lot of good receivers in this class that are going to be there. You know, Donnie Mitchell might be there, and like, you know, he could be wide receiver three, wide receiver four. So I don't know. It's a tough
one. Yeah, I just think that it's going to come down to, it's going to be one of the three guys. It's going to be Adunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., or Malik Nabers. I think they're going to want to go out and get a guy who is a proven receiver at the college level. I know there's a bunch of other guys out there, and Xavier Leggett we've talked about too. Brian Thomas is another one. I would rather stick to one of those three because they seem the most rock solid. At least those are the ones that everyone's talking about, and everybody else is in a second tier below them. It seems like a toss-up between Nabers and Harrison Jr. at this point. But I mean, the Bills are if they don't do that, they're done. Like they have effectively resigned this season to grow and develop because they have no wide receivers at this point. They have no like true offensive weapons. It's a reset year for them.
It is funny though, right? Because it does feel like that if Marvin Harrison and Nabers and Adunze were not in this draft, that Brian Thomas or Donnie Mitchell would be wide receiver one in any other class, you know? Yeah. But I agree. And again, this is a nice warning to certain teams to not go too aggressive on certain players. Like that Von Miller deal is the thing that's really screwing them here.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny though, because I feel like they added a new problem to their list, the Bills. I felt like they really needed to concentrate on defense, the run game, and instead they've somehow figured a way of opening it up to now needing receivers as well. It was a complete fire sale this entire offseason for them, right? Where do you, like, you have to start fresh almost everywhere. Now, yeah. Is this a...
Except it wasn't a fire sale, though. They just let all those guys walk. They cut them or they...
It's Tre'Davious, yeah, Mitchell, Tre'Davious White, the two safeties, Poyer. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really starting fresh everywhere. So they have needs all over the place. So that's also the downside of making a move from Marv is that, like, you do have needs everywhere. So those 11 picks would be pretty useful to, like, rebuilding that team.
I can't see them actually making a move with such tight capital here. And Josh Allen's, you know, money is just going to go up. So
yeah, yesterday's price is not today's price for him.
Yeah,
these are all, and he's going to be more relied on than ever, you know, especially this upcoming season.
I just can't wait for Josh Allen to be traded to the Giants. It's going to be a glorious day.
I really hope that day comes. Come soon.
Yeah, it's not going to. Let me live in my fantasy world for 2 minutes. It was just a thought though. I'm like, the Giants wanted to make an aggressive move. They could get the, you know, they could get that pick and then trade it for Allen.
Yeah, I mean, if he goes to like Green Bay first, then he'll be on the Jets like the year before he retires. So
yeah, exactly. Once he's like 45 years old and he's completely washed.
The only guys that are penciled in as starters that they've signed are Curtis Samuel and Mike Edwards from Kansas City. So Curtis Samuel, enjoy that experience. He'll play like 7 games every year.
He's good when he's healthy.
Well, here's...
It's when he's healthy.
Yeah. Someone made a very good point about this, is that he's actually Diggs' replacement at a much lower price, because if you look at what he averaged statistically last year, it was about the same as what Diggs had done as well. And he's younger and I know it's not a great argument, but it needs to be said that that might be part of the Bills thinking in what they did or what they decided on doing.
I guess, but still, like, never been a dominant receiver ever.
Now, did Stephon Diggs win in this, like, trade, in this scenario? Did he come out on top with this one? Or is it...
Well, that's the thing, right? Because they're apparently the Bills blocked a trade to Kansas City. I think he wanted to go to Kansas City. And smart, right? Of course. Who would not play with Patrick Mahomes? But they basically said like that's the only team you can't go to. So did you guys see that video of Diggs that was posted by the Texans? That's like, it's like one of those videos where it goes, "What's up, Houston? Stephon Diggs," you know, like that video.
Yeah, let's get to work or something like that.
He said, "Excited to be here." He did that.
Yeah, it's the long breath. It's the long sigh. So, you're like, all right, time to go to work.
He was like, "It's gonna be fun," and I was like, "That does not sound like someone."
Yeah, that's the kind of sound you make, and you're like, "All right, time to go fix the lawnmower." Something you definitely don't want to do.
The genesis of this, apparently, though, with the trade, was that I think it might be, like, a lot of people are saying it's coming from Allen because it may not necessarily be cap related, because his contract wasn't really tradable in the way that you would want it to be. So some people, there was a story that came out that he apparently, you know, had kind of gotten on Josh Allen's nerves a little. And after the first game, they lost to the Jets week one. Josh Allen did not play well. The offense did nothing. There was like basically like I think Josh was they said that Josh was having like a really rough time after the game, was like kind of down, and a bunch of guys were going over, patting him, you know, saying, "Don't worry about it." And apparently Diggs came up to him, and no one can recall what he said to him, but apparently Josh like yelled at him. It was like, "It's one fucking game. Like, get out of my face," type of scenario. So that apparently seems like there was some tension. And it's so weird because Diggs was having, like, the first half of that season last year, Diggs was, like putting up crazy numbers. And then all of a sudden, just kind of started, his numbers really dipped. So I think there's something to that, the relationship between him and Allen, that was kind of fractured.
Yeah, I feel like every time I was watching a Bills game, it was Stephon Diggs like jawing at Josh Allen about something. And
yeah,
I mean, at a certain point, it's like, yo, man, you're a really good receiver, but you also are replaceable. And it's harder to find a quarterback that's good than a wide receiver that, you know, we can essentially find either in the draft for cheaper or sign somebody who's cheaper.
People laughed at me when I said that Davante Adams was
everyone laughed good. At you.
but I said that the Davante Adams signing in Vegas was a bad thing for Carr. And I said I feel like a lot of times there's a lot of quarterbacks that don't like having that alpha receiver, because now you have like, you can't really just rip it, right? You have to get it to that guy at least a certain amount of times. Mm-hmm. I feel like there is a downside sometimes to having these like top tier wide receivers, is because they command so much of it that you really do have to focus on getting them their touches. And maybe there's certain plays that you would have went to somebody else because it's a better read, but you force the ball in, because if God forbid, even if you win the game and Stephon Diggs gets three catches, he's not going to be happy about that.
I mean, the same thing happened in Cincinnati where Ja'Marr Chase was like, "I'm always fucking open."
Yeah, I'm always looking open. Yeah, and that's a guy who he literally played with in college. And like,
yeah, you know, I mean, for friends. The most part, yeah, you are open, but to just blindly throw it at you every single time is, I mean, that's how teams lose, how guys get benched. And I think there is some merit to that, essentially, where we've seen it with, I mean, Donovan McNabb, Terrell Owens is a great example. They had that one good year together, and it kind of crumbled after that. I'm trying to think of some other examples. Randy Moss on the Patriots. Randy Moss pretty much kind of anywhere.
Randy was a tough guy, man. He was a tough personality.
I mean,
I think there's something to that. And like, Davante Adams did not work. Has not really worked out in Vegas, especially when Derek Carr was there. Like, you know, and everyone was like, "Oh, they have that college relationship." It did not really bear any good results for either of them. So
yeah, I mean, the situation was kind of shit too. So I think that might have something to do with it. But we'll see how it we'll see how it wraps. Gatto, I'll let you get the last word in here, and then we'll move on.
Cool.
How is this bad for Biden?
I think the one thing that kind of might make sense of all of this too is the style in which Diggs as a receiver versus what I think the Bills might be needing with their quarterback receiver matchup versus what will be offered with CJ Stroud. And Diggs is great at finding seams. And I feel that the Houston playbook will be better acclimated to giving Diggs those opportunities to find those seams. Instead of being the all-star number one, he's kind of taking a co-star role on that roster, right? And and I think that that changes a lot of things. It changes the tension that, changes the attention, but it also changes the pressure on Diggs to perform. And it also it's a young receiver room, so there's a lot he can teach those guys to help them be better. And I think he's really at this point in his career, he's after a ring. So
does anybody feel like this was overkill for the Texans? Like maybe they're trying a little too hard on this one.
I love it though. I love the aggressiveness.
I mean, aggressiveness, yeah, but I feel like this is also the same kind of, I guess it's a little bit different because the contract is structured in such a way, but I feel like this is very much like a team that's had a taste of being good and now they're just trading to get more of the same.
This is like the first time you walk into a casino and you go over to the roulette table and you put money down on a number and it fucking hits. And now you've gotten the bug and fucking, what do you do from here? You go and you fucking spend a mortgage payment on losing bets at that point. So
yeah, I just feel like that. I just feel like I've seen this movie a lot of times, and the best example would be like the New York Jets with Sanchez and Rex Ryan. Remember that one year, like they had
the capless year,
yeah, where they had like a 10-win season the year before, and then they went out and got
Jason Taylor,
Plaxico Burress, LaDainian Tomlinson, like all of those dudes, and it's like, whoa, hang on, guys, hang on.
That was the year
you're getting all the olds. That's not a good idea.
There's another team in Texas that is always all in and feels they're just one piece away from being the most dominant in the NFL.
Who could that be?
They are just one 30-year-old away from being super good.
It's their year, guys. Skip Bayless told me so.
It's their.
They're all in.
Him to throw more of his shit in the garbage and film it.
I love the videos, man. He's always huffing like.
I mean, just the jersey burnings that go on there weekly and in the fall is just amazing.
God, to live in his building must be a story, but. We're going to move on. First and foremost, if you all could do us a favor and provide us with a thumbs up or like on your favorite streaming platform and write a review and share it with your friends who are also football junkies and degenerate gamblers, that would be fantastic for the show. Remember, this is Play Breakers. We are breaking down the NFC North. And fellas, I think this is probably a we landed on a division that has a lot of intrigue to it, particularly because the number one overall pick is going to go to the Chicago Bears. So let's start there. Chicago Bears, they were ass last year, and they've been that way for quite some time. A team that has never been historically good at drafting quarterbacks, has never been historically good at developing quarterbacks, is now going to get the number one guy. There's a lot of holes on that team. Coaching staff is a bit questionable. And it's been a revolving door at offensive coordinator. So everything seems fantastic for them. How are we feeling about the Bears this upcoming season?
Q, do you want to take this one?
That is a Stefon Diggs response if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, people have been saying that this is the best situation that a number one pick has ever really been in. And I don't disagree because they really have done the work at pretty much getting as many pieces as they can. I mean, did they overpay for DeAndre Swift? Yeah. You know, but
kind of had to.
But, you know, getting a guy like Gerald Everett is really interesting. DJ Moore is going to be a really good number one wide receiver. And also having that ninth overall pick too, that, like, I don't know, it could really make huge difference for them. So I look, at the end of the day, this is a team that has not had a 4,000 yard passer ever. Mm-hmm. So, but like at the end of the day, they're making a good move here. Like, I like Justin Fields a lot, but I just didn't see it being a real long-term option for him. I think they're going to be okay. I think they're headed in the right direction, maybe for the first time ever.
Yeah. You also, another guy that was added too was Keenan Allen. And I think,
Gerald Everett.
Yep. Yeah.
I mentioned Gerald Everett. Yeah.
Allen is interesting though. I mean, he's a guy who's kind of always hurt, but when he's not, he's good. And I think having at least somebody with the potential of being a solid number two receiver only helps Caleb Williams.
He's coming off of another 100 catch season for 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns. So,
yeah. So hamstrings don't fail me now.
This is this is the one interesting thing though, is that because there's obviously the conversation about Caleb Williams and about whether or not he's a bust or not, or if he's going to be living up to the reputation. Like, he's going to have every opportunity to prove himself. So,
yeah, they cleared out. What's his face? they got rid of Fields. Sorry, guys. They got rid of Fields to make sure that there was no confusion or any sort of weird thoughts that might float through Caleb Williams' head. They're really taking this serious. And they are kind of, I think, sitting there saying, we got our lucky break, so we're going to make the most of it, right? Because they had no intentions or expectations to end up with the first pick in this way, right? Who would have thought that the Carolina Panthers were going to be that tragically bad this year? The Carolina Panthers did not think that. I mean, could have kind of guessed it or approximated it based on, like, what was going on that roster. But we're looking at a team, I think, that, you know, for the first time in a while, really believes in themselves. And they're doing some smart things. They've signed some offensive linemen, which I honestly can't see anybody succeeding with that, the way that line played last year or the year before. So they've really improved or trying to improve in that space. And that's a very critical part of this. Who did they sign?
They signed Jake Curhan, Roy,
Matt Pryor,
yeah,
Coleman Shelton.
I mean, these are okay guys. I wouldn't say that they are going to be game changers, but I would imagine that probably with that ninth pick, they're going to draft a tackle. They're going to bring somebody else.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, I mean, you're wrong, but well, if it's not a tackle, who you think you?
I think there's a possibility that a guy like Odunze might sneak into that pick. So if the draft falls how I think it will, that Caleb goes number one, two is going to be Mayor Daniels, three will be Mayor Daniels, you know, whichever one doesn't go there. If the Vikings are aggressive and go for four and get McCarthy, five is going to be, could be Joe Alt. I know everyone's expecting the Chargers to take a receiver, and I get it, but like, it's not out of the realm for me that because of the fact that, like, the way Harbaugh is with the offensive line, that they just go take Joe Alt. Giants will take a receiver at six, and then the Falcons probably not taking a receiver at seven, probably take a defensive player. And then, like, you know, eight, nine, there's going to be somebody there. It's potential that somebody's there. I think they really like the idea of having those big three, you know, yeah. Having DJ Moore, who's kind of their expensive piece, Keenan Allen, who's their older, more savvy veteran, and then having like a guy who's going to grow with Caleb. So if Dunze is there at nine, I mean, like, that's a value pick. So
Are we all sold on the Chargers taking Brock Bowers? Is that why? Okay. Because
not at five. Five is way too much.
It would be kind of intriguing though to see the Bears take Bowers.
I think the Bengals are going to get aggressive for Brock Bowers. That makes the most sense to me.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't remember exactly where they pick, but
it's going to be QB, wide out.
It's going to be potentially four quarterbacks and three receivers in the top 10. And so then, 7 out of the 10 picks could be quarterback or wide receiver.
I mean, which direction does Atlanta go in?
I think they might be the only defensive player. I think Dallas Turner makes a lot of sense for them.
I agree with that. I think Raheem Morris is their head coach now, right?
Yes.
I think he's going to want to make a statement on the defense because the offense, for the most part, is kind of just – they have a lot of really good pieces. It's just that they've had Artie Smith running the show, and he didn't know how to use them properly. But their defense – I mean, even when that team was good with Matt Ryan, like, their defense was notably better. Like, the Smith era was solid. And, I mean, I think they have the offensive side of the ball pretty much figured out. They just need to make sure that they can stop people.
Yeah. And if the Chargers don't take a receiver, if they do take a receiver at five, then Joel, it's going to go 7. And I don't think Tennessee's going to take a receiver either, honestly. Because they got super aggressive in free agency for receiver. So I don't, you know, with Ridley there and Hopkins, it just doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah.
So I could see Rome Odunze going 9. I could, you know, I don't think they would take Brock Bowers there because I think, you know, with Cole Kmet having the season he did, I don't think they would. But like, Think about that for a second. Because like, they also drafted Darnell Wright last year in pick number 10, mm-hmm. and he was really good for them. So I think they're willing to probably roll the dice on a guy. If Odunze is there, imagine having those fucking three guys as your receivers. It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, you can't say that they didn't put talent in front of Williams then, if that's the case. Then it just comes down to coaching and utilizing those
guys. I mean, what more can you really ask for from a guy at this point? Like, I mean, you got three stud receivers, a really good tight end, a good backup tight end, and an offensive line that is more than functional. It's not a bad offensive line. It was average last year. So, I mean, he should be able to operate in that offense pretty easily.
Yeah. Any question marks for this team in particular? I think from my side of things, it's really just coaching staff. Like, this is the third year in a row of Matt Eberflus and his team.
Forever fluke.
Yeah. I thought he was going to get fired at the end of last year, to be honest with you, and they wanted to just start.
I didn't think he was making it the whole season. No. I got to be honest.
No, and one of their coaches gets fired midway through the season and then gets arrested. Yeah. Like, that's a whole mess, dude.
Yeah, like your house was not in order at all.
And they're on another offensive coordinator, too. Like, at a certain point, it's no longer the players, it's the coaches.
To be fair, it is. They did hire Shane Waldron as their offensive coordinator, and I like that hire a lot. So he did a lot of good things with Geno Smith in Seattle. So I think it's a good. I mean, even like Drew Locke looked like a serviceable quarterback in Waldron's system. So it's a run based offense. Obviously, that's just how Pete Carroll operates. So I think for them, with Roschon Johnson and DeAndre Swift, they're going to probably try and make it easier on Williams early in the season. But and if he feels confident later in the season, kind of shift more passing friendly. I don't know, man. Matt Eberflus does not inspire a lot of confidence for me. But the Waldron hiring at least makes it feel better because he'll kind of be running that offense by himself, and I think Eberflus will probably just focus on defense. It's not my ideal structure, but I can at least appreciate that they didn't just scrap everything and start over. But if you were going to do it, that was the time to do it.
Yeah,
they missed the boat on that one.
You can't do it after this season. Like if the Bears are bad this year, you can't do it, and then you're pushing it even further into the year two.
You're screwing Caleb Williams.
Yeah,
you have to think about that.
You're going to get a Trevor Warren situation where you held on to that coach for too long and then finally hired, you know, an offensive-minded guy. So,
yeah.
Gatto, any concerns?
No, I think we've touched on, I think, the biggest one. Actually, in terms of what this team looks like what is the, I don't know, you know, I know Chicago fans, their only expectation would be to get to the playoffs, but what does a turnaround season for the Bears actually look like? I think for me, it's a double digit win season, right?
I think that Houston might have skewed the metrics for everybody with talking about like a turnaround season with a high
draft
quarterback.
Yeah. And that Regency bias might make things very dicey.
Yeah. That one right there for me, I think, 7 or 8 wins from that team. Most importantly is Caleb Williams stays healthy for the entire season and they limit the number of hits on him because I just say that not because I think he's prone to getting hit, but I think if you look at a lot of the young quarterbacks that play well, when they start, they have time and they also are able to read the field more than what Justin Fields or Sam Howells of the world or other guys like that, that as soon as they drop back, they've got like 5 people in their face. Yeah. And we've seen it with Derek Carr. We've seen it a bunch of guys, or David Carr. We've seen it with a bunch of guys, like getting hit that often, that young, stunts your development.
It's hard to learn to read defenses when you're back, when you're on your back. It's
exactly.
Yeah, and he has a propensity for playing hero ball and holding on to the ball for a long time. I mean, again, he makes magic happen when he does it, but he's going to have to. But I, you know what the good thing is? I will say that he played behind arguably one of the worst college football's offensive lines. I mean, USC offensive
line. Yeah, it was bad.
Anytime I watched any of Caleb Williams, it was like, this guy is under duress every single play. Mm-hmm. So if he's able to survive behind that offensive line, I think he can survive behind the Bears offensive line.
Fine. I mean, in general, like that entire, like the coaching for that team is just horseshit too. It was the same like 4 route, which was one of my big fears, I think, actually for Caleb Williams, was that it's about 4, like their playbook is about 4 routes long. And it's like 2 crossers and 2 verticals almost every time.
Yeah. And run as fast as possible. I'll throw it to you.
Yeah,
I want to put it out there. Are we 110% that it's going to be Caleb Williams at 1?
Yes.
Interesting.
I mean,
don't you psychiatrist me?
How does that
I know? I know you think it's going to be that.
No, he thinks it's JJ McCarthy, right? Because that's the narrative he's been pushing.
Listen. You guys have shit on JJ McCarthy so much. You guys have made him underrated. I'm just putting it out there. No. There was a mock draft that dropped today, based on it's like scouts, basically like anonymous scouts doing like a mock draft, and they actually had Drake May going 1. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's so weird to me how it seems like the narrative on Drake May has kind of shifted his, like, the betting odds are all saying that he's not going to be the 2 pick. But, like, arguably, I think he had one of the better, like, I think, like, if you watch his tape, is like, he's got some of the best tape. His pro day was really good. I'm not sure where this hate is coming from with Drake May, but, like, also, I want to point out that going back to 2018, which is kind of like the barometer, everyone said that Josh Allen or Sam Darnold was going to be the 1 pick. It was unanimous. And then Baker Mayfield ends up becoming the 1 pick. I'm just saying it's not impossible that, you know, all of a sudden out of nowhere, we find out that something else is going to happen. So
this Jaden Daniels. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Jaden. I mean, I don't see him taking the 1 spot. I can Drake see May. Him taking the 3, and not by any means because of his ability. Right, I think He's exceptionally talented. He has elite flashes. He is a great starting point for almost any team in this league. The thing is he the right fit for a team? Is probably the only thing that moves him into a different position. Is he going to be the right guy for that next team, right, in the draft? And maybe you compare him and you say, you know what, Jaden Daniels is ticking the boxes that we need to succeed at the position we are in this draft. We have this opportunity. We have that choice. He makes a better profile for us. We're going for it. You know, that's the only thing that I really see. I see the shade, and I always think there is like a planned push to get him down to a certain position or whatever, or expectation, so that there's that narrative or that story later on, like surprising, you know, twist of events here. Lots of people didn't see that coming, you know, but it.
So the calls are coming from within MetLife Stadium.
So you think yes. you think Jaden Daniels has a better chance of going number one?
No. What I'm saying is that I don't see number one changing at all. I don't live in disillusionment there. The Bears have been very forward about their motives, and that's the thing, right?
I'm just saying
that he might not go two, he might go three, because there's the possibility that Jaden Daniels fits a little bit better for one team or another.
That's, I think, awesome. A lot of this is pre-draft just noise.
For sure.
This happens.
Because it's the boring time of the year.
Honestly, this reminds me a lot of the negativity that was swirling around CJ Stroud last year, where it was the guy hasn't thrown a pass since December, and all of a sudden he's instantly worse than everybody else. I think it's a lot of like what Gatto was saying, is trying to like bring him down to somebody who's trying to get him maybe at like a six or a seven, or even lower.
Six, you say,
but I, like, what is telling people Drake May is not that good? And again, it's, I know people are watching tape and things like that, but nobody has new tape right now. And
this strikes me
as just like boredom. Like, hey, let's put something out there just to stir up a conversation.
There's been a lot of hate on Drake May, and it's
very, there is. Merrill Hodge said that thing too, like, oh, he's the guy that's going to get a GM fired. It's like, that is the most overused statement at this point, because apparently you can just say that for all of these guys now.
I mean, Merrill Hodge was one of those guys that was on, like,
but
his track record is interesting. I don't know if it's a consistent, but like, he was one of the only people saying that Johnny Football was going to be like a bust, and everyone was like slobbering over him, and like, he was like, he's going to get somebody fired, and he did. I think he was also, I forget the other people that he was on, but he definitely has an interesting track record. I don't know if it's perfectly consistent, but like, he's made some good calls before. So, but I don't see it either. I don't get it either. I think it's just being like, we are kind of bored. It's, I think, you know what they call it? It's prospect fatigue. Mm-hmm. I think we just see a guy like that and we're like, yeah, you know what? You look like Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. You're probably,
fuck them.
Yeah, you're probably not going to be as good as them. There's no way there's going to be another one of these guys that are being tall and strong and fast. Like, you know what? You're probably Paxton Lynch. So you're going to get somebody fired.
Oh, way back machine right there.
Man.
It's also just easier to shade somebody, because the moment that they don't perform well, or they hit a slump, you get to go, see, I told you so.
Yeah,
you get your name in the news too. You know, you get your name like in a headline. Merrill Hodge says, you know, Drake May is going to get somebody fired. Yeah. I've not heard anything that Drake May is like a bad kid. So like, if anything, if he's not the guy you expect him to be, I think it will just be because the game was too fast for him. I don't think it's going to be because he's not going to work hard. So I don't think any of these guys are.
That seems like a weird one for Drake May, because his register is probably one of the fastest in this draft.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So
I don't know.
Yeah, so with that in mind, we do have to move on to the other three teams.
Wait, there's three other teams?
Believe it or not, yeah. So let's move on to another team that's going to be QB hungry with the Minnesota Vikings. So Kirk Cousins.
You don't like Sam Darnold?
Speaking of guys that have gotten GMs fired. Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins is gone. He went to Atlanta. Got his bag. Legendary bag getter. But sick. Still a sound team. Probably the most talented team that has to pick this high in the draft. I mean, you have Jordan Jefferson, who's there for another year. Jordan Addison, who, by the way, is posting Andrew Tate memes now, apparently. I guess we're cool with that.
I did not even know about that.
Yeah, that just kind of came up. So we know where his head's at. And, I mean, there's talent on that team still. But I think, first and foremost, their issue – and I really like Kevin O'Connell. I think he's a really good coach.
I do, too.
With what he's been able to do there. Yeah. I'm just going to start it right off. Are they going to trade up and draft a quarterback?
They have to.
There's nothing else, right?
The point I've been making about all of this is that I think in any other year, like QB4 or QB5 in this class is QB1 or QB2. Like next year, like I've looked at these guys, maybe Carson Beck is going to be the guy. Like there's really no guy that's like kind of sticking out to me. So like I think McCarthy next year would be QB1 if he was to go out next year. So I understand the thought process. Some people are like, you're going to take QB4 at like pick number 5 or pick number 4. And it's like, yeah, because like this is a really good class. I think this is the time to go get your guy. They need to be aggressive. Like, because I think the Giants will take McCarthy if he's there. But like, I don't think they're going to move heaven and earth to get him. I think they would move heaven and earth at Drake Mays at 3 or 4.
Right.
But like for them, I think McCarthy is kind of a perfect fit for Kevin O'Connell. So he is a very much a rhythm based offense. I mean, there's a couple guys that McCarthy reminds me of, one of them being Kirk Cousins, kind of like a more souped up Kirk Cousins. So I think it would actually be a good move for them. And like some people are thinking that we might get a renaissance year from Sam Darnold because he, well, I mean, you know, it's the Geno Smith type of mindset that like maybe he's better than the environments he's been in, and he was just in San Francisco. So, you know, the thought process is that like maybe he picks some stuff up over there. I don't know. I don't believe in it. I think he'll be a good bridge quarterback. I think he's going to be an interesting case to see in the Kevin O'Connell offense because it kind of fits him. He might be better than advertised, but I don't think you're going to all of a sudden see Sam Darnold become a Pro Bowl quarterback. So, that offense is too good. And signing Aaron Jones too, which was like I thought was a good move for them. I think that there's really only one glaring weakness on that team, and it's quarterback.
Yeah. Gatto, what you thinking?
This is I feel like they can play it. They can play it risky and trade up and give away some draft capital, or they can probably play it cool and on the cuff and wait till second round and pick up someone like Michael Penix. And Michael Penix might be a great choice for them because you've got Justin Jefferson out there. You've got an arm. You can make things happen. You've got Jordan Addison. You can make things happen. So I don't know if they're as desperate as they seem because Kirk Cousins, to me, is not this spectacular quarterback. Some people love to make him out to be. He's an all right quarterback, and you just need to replace all right with something all right to get back on track. Because what was their big derailment this year was Kirk Cousins going down, because then they had no quarterback, right? Otherwise, they were someone that was looking to contend in this division up until that point. And in terms of defense and stuff, you know, like they seem to have found their niche and a lot of, you know, big play calling, going with a high percentage of stunts and rushing the quarterback. And I think they're going to keep on that, because I think this year you need to figure out a way to slow down both Green Bay and Detroit. And a flustered Caleb Williams is probably your key to victory against the Bears. So I think you might be better off spending this time looking at a defensive prospect, someone that can help you out.
It's an interesting take. I think like the Penix is, I think of the guys in that second tier, Penix is probably the one that I would want over Bo Nix. But I think they are another team too that has, outside of Dante Culpepper, has never really had a sound quarterback that they've been able to bring in on their own. And the guys that they've drafted have also not been great either. Like, I think, is it Christian Ponder who's the last guy they drafted? Yeah, yeah. That yeah. worked out super well for them. I think they would want to make a splash, and it's probably going to be McCarthy. I would just hope that they don't like rush him in, because I think he needs some time to get acclimated. I'm hard on JJ McCarthy because for various reasons, but if he ends up being good, that's great. My fear with him is that they say, oh, look at all the stuff that he did in college. Let's just throw him in and see what happens. And they end up really screwing up his confidence and making the game a little too fast for him. I don't know. That being said, I don't think this is a team that has a lot of opportunity to wait. I think they need to go out and grab the best guy that's available, which would probably be McCarthy in that position. At the end of the day, though, like, I would just hope that they're getting something that's comparable to Kirk Cousins in there, because as long as his decision-making is just a wee bit better than Kirk Cousins, that could be a 11 or 12 win team.
I don't think with a guy like McCarthy, you have to sit him, because also remember the Vikings offensive line is pretty damn good. And then also on top of that, you're, have a safety net with Aaron Jones, guy who's really good at pass catching out of the backfield. So you have that kind of that safety valve built in. You have a Pro Bowl tight end. You have Justin Jefferson. You got Jordan Addison. I mean, really, again, the infrastructure is kind of built for a young quarterback to be able to walk in and you know, if worst case scenario, at least keep things functional. So yeah. I think actually, like, and I don't think he's going to start right away. I think if they do get him, they'd probably go with Darnold right away. They paid $10 million for him, so I imagine they're going to want to get something out of that.
Yeah, I just, like, you have to do a lot of projecting with J.J. McCarthy, which I think that gives me a little bit of pause. I will say, though, about Sam Darnold, I don't think being close to somebody means you're going to get better. I think it's going to be the exact same Sam Darnold that we saw in Carolina. Even there, the game is too fast for him.
I think the thought process was that because of his time to mature, and also this is like the West Coast offense is exactly what Sam Darnold needed, and he never really got that in with the Jets and then with the Panthers. The thought process was that Sam Darnold was able to like restore it. It's a confidence thing, right? A lot of times it is a confidence thing. So I think some people are projecting that maybe he is a more confident guy. There were some people who were saying in the beginning of the year that he should have been starting over Brock Purdy. I disagree, but you know.
Yeah, all that talk like he's the best quarterback on the roster, it's like you people need to watch the film. The most notable thing he did was catch a college disease and miss a month and a half.
I was mono. I
thought you meant syphilis.
You never know, man.
We don't know, but it could be. I always like Sam Darnold coming out, so I'm more confident on him. I still think that I think he could be a valuable bridge guy. I don't think he's going to be as good as like. I don't think he's going to have a Geno Smith season, but I think he'll be serviceable. I think you could do a lot worse than Sam Darnold. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, Yeah, I would agree. The guys that they had, like the Josh Dobbs of the world, like that would, I think those.
I like Josh Dobbs, but like he clearly, like, I mean, what he did was really impressive coming out of nowhere and like being able to like not knowing these guys' names and putting up that performance. But like, he is what he is. He's a low end starter, really high end backup.
Yeah. For some of the signings for the Vikings, I saw that a lot of them are defensive focused. And I think that was kind of the problem that they had last year was their defense was just a little long in the tooth, getting tired. I saw a former Giant on here, actually, in Jihad Ward. Any bit of a scouting report on him?
Really good run defender, good edge setter, offers little to next to nothing in the pass rush. He was a favorite of former defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. So I don't know. I like Jihad Ward. He's an interesting locker room guy. I think he added some good elements there, but he was also kind of like a kind of a weird dude too. So it's a low end signing for me. I really liked Darren Jones signing.
That was good.
He, the thing about Aaron Jones, like, I know he's older, and I understand the thought process behind that, that like maybe he's getting long in the tooth and he has had some injuries for sure, but he's a fucking gamer, man. Like he comes up in those big games. That game against Dallas, he was crushing them.
Yeah, he was nails.
It's funny we're bringing this up now because that was going to be something I was going to say about the Packers was how could you let this guy go?
To sign, yeah, I didn't understand that at all. To get Josh Jacobs essentially at a more expensive price. I mean, like, I know Josh Jacobs is a really good running back, but he's never stayed healthy. So you traded one, you essentially released a often injured running back who is a fan favorite to sign a guy who's also often injured for more money. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
Well, with that in mind, we can move to the Packers battle unless you got anything else to say.
Nope.
I was just going to leave us with this number for Jihad Ward. In 2023, he had a 1.1% pass rush win rate as an edge rusher. Yikes.
Yeah.
I'm good.
He is not a guy that you are going to use in like rushing the passer. He is very much a guy who's going to be setting the edge for you.
And that's very weird for that Vikings defense because it's almost like a tip of the cap that you know they're going to be putting him in when they think there's going to be a run play, right?
Again, we're going to move on to the Packers, but he's not going to be a starter, right? Like, this is a guy that is going to be spotting plays every now and again.
I think he might get some spot starts depending on injuries, but like, yeah, like ideally you're not going to start him. You know, if you're starting him, like, the Giants were down bad when they were starting him. Like, we knew, like, oh man, because it was Azeez Ojulari who was always injured for us, and like, it was going to be Jihad Ward.
Yeah.
Again, from a run defensive standpoint, if you're going to use him as just an edge setter on certain downs, like first and second down, and then he's going to come off the field on third, it's not a bad move. But they also lost Daniel Hunter too. We kind of buried the lead on that one. That's going to be a huge loss for them. So they are kind of missing some pieces there.
Yeah, and I'm assuming just based off of the guys that they've signed, they're really hoping to be able to like fill in some of his stats with just a number of other dudes.
Quantity over quality, right? Yeah. Right. Yeah,
it seems so that way. The Green Bay Packers, looking at them, a really interesting team from the perspective of started slow and then got really hot by the end of the year. Jordan Love with a sneaky good year.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that he is a good, if not growing to be really good quarterback for that team. And again, the Green Bay Packers strike again with getting another fucking franchise quarterback for them.
I really like him.
The Green Bay Packers, man, they don't have a boss per se.
Their hit rate is insane on picks.
And I think that's the whole key to this, right? There's this special combo of that. They can always look for a bigger picture some sort of forest past the trees kind of attitude when they're drafting, right? Because they don't have like, you know, someone breathing down their neck about, they don't have a Jerry Jones, you know, demanding wins, or a drink spiking, what's his face down in Carolina.
Oh, Dave Tepper. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. Green Bay Packers, great example of socialism at work, people. Like when you give the team to the people, they continue to win.
Tom, we get it. It's an election year. Take it easy.
But just looking at some of the guys that they've signed in free agency, Josh Jacobs, you alluded to earlier, Q, but also backing him up, AJ Dillon. So he's
back.
They
re-signed him. Yeah.
Yep.
I will say I looked at the Josh Jacobs contract, and it is more bonus structured than anything. So it does provide them some flexibility.
Yeah, incentive laden contract, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, they signed Xavier McKinney in the offseason, which I thought was a great move for them. It was an expensive contract, but for any Giants fan who's watched him over the last few years, he's more than worth it for sure.
4 years, $68 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, you're going to get some money out of it.
There's a young team, so they're not paying much right now for things. So, things are going to get expensive for them quick, though, granted.
Yeah. So I want to pose this question to you too. Outside of the Lions, the Packers are probably the most complete team without like the most glaring holes. Like they already have their quarterback. Vikings and the Bears are either getting or will have their quarterback by 3 weeks from now. Is this a team that can contend with the Lions next year and potentially take this division?
I think so. I think there's two parts to that though, right? And I think the first part is mostly driven by where the Lions go. Right. Or what the Lions look like next year or the year after that, right? But I think this team is sound across the board. They're doing all the right things, right? And a part of that though is about being consistent. Can they stay consistently this good, or did they just catch a really hot streak at the end of the season? They kind of pulled the Giants in the postseason. They kind of drew the easy team to beat in the Cowboys, and it took them kind of far. And they looked phenomenal, right? Like they were good going into the end of the year, but I think they were playing the
Niners pretty hard too in that game also.
Yeah, in the beginning, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it just and I can also make an argument that in the playoffs you don't always get the same teams that you think you're going to get, right? Like the 49ers have a lot more to lose at this point because it's all about staying alive. So you play it a little bit closer, a little bit safer. Right. And so maybe that game didn't reflect it. The weather was a little shitty. And I don't think I'm detracting from the way the Packers played last year. It's just, did they maybe get hotter than even they expected to? And it was a bit of a luck streak. And those pieces might not click the same way next year. Is that possible?
Like, yeah, because they looked pretty – they didn't look great at the beginning of the season and midway through. They kind of just turned it on.
They struggled in games against the Bears.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there were times where things looked a little lost and questionable for them. I would agree. I think this division is probably more dictated on what happens with the Lions than what happens with anybody else. But I think there is – there's definitely some interesting pieces there in Green Bay. And I think they are, like so many teams, are going to be really driven by what that quarterback does with what Jordan Love is able to do in year two. And also what they're able to get out of Josh Jacobs. And, you know, Q, you had alluded to it. Like, they spent a lot of money on a running back who's already been in the league for quite a while, too. And are you going to get a good example here, a Corey Dillon-like performance when he went to New England, or are you going to get, like, a guy who finally got his free agent bag and is, like, 800 yards and meh? Or a year of just, like, 1,000 and then that's it?
Yeah, that's the hard part, is trying to figure that out. And I don't know, man. I honestly don't know how to feel about this team to a certain extent, right? Because I feel like when you have a quarterback like Jordan Love, really anything is possible, because like he showed late in the season how good he really can be.
Mm-hmm.
But like the free agent moves are just kind of weird to me. Like the Josh Jacobs one, I would have probably just stuck with Aaron Jones for a little bit longer. Didn't really go out and get him like a top tier wide receiver, because their wide receiver room is a little bit weird. It's a couple guys that I like.
For me.
Yeah, they're really invested in like the Romeo Doubs and the Christian Watsons of the world.
I like
mine. Yeah,
I like those guys, but I just like I just don't know how to feel like about them being like they don't have like a true number one. So I don't know. I think there's definite possibilities, and they just the Packers are weird. They just feel like one of those teams that are like no matter what, they're always in on it. Like it just feels like even when you like even this year, I think we all felt like this is a rebuild year, and it just all of a sudden here they are. They're in the playoffs, you know, and they're beating the Cowboys in the playoffs. I think they're going to be around.
Tale is old time.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. I like it. I'm not sure how I feel about them directly. I want to see what they do in the draft, because I think that's going to be the biggest thing for me. Because if they nail the draft and they go walk away with two, you know, maybe a top end wide receiver, and because they already build up their defense and in free agency. So I like that. The offensive line's always pretty good. They survived without Bakhtiari for a long time, so his loss is not significant to me.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to like about this team, but I just, you know, I gotta see it first before I really can completely dial in for them.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. Sporting News has them drafting at 25, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. So yeah.
But I think
and it's a very kind of Packers pick, by the way. but I think they need a little bit more of an impact player on offense than an offensive tackle.
It would be nice. It would be nice. But my thought process on this is real simple. It is going to come down to the Lions, right? It is going to be what do the Lions do? And if the Lions are the same team from last year and they're crushing people on the ground and everything, then I think they're going to be fine. But I think there is a chance that there might be some regression with this team. So, you know, the Packers might be able to find that angle. And I also worry long-term about, you know, Jared Goff. Like, his contract is coming up soon. They don't really have anybody behind him. So it's going to come down to, you know, can he be that guy for them? So I don't know.
Yeah.
I do understand though why you would want to draft a offensive lineman with your first pick, though, if you are the Packers. And I think a big part of that is just that you want to protect what was a solid investment in your quarterback. I think they've confirmed they found their quarterback for the next foreseeable future.
Not a whole lot of drop off from Aaron Rodgers, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't get his moment to make them eat crow, and I think he was expecting to do that this year, and it never came.
I mean, Jordan Love, 4,000 yards, 32 touchdowns, 11 picks. Like, that's
a good trend.
That feeds families in Green Bay. But yeah, I also wonder too, they seem to be a team that is never really within like the top half of the draft. They're always in like that mid-20s pick. And
Steeler syndrome
is a good way to put it. Yeah. Where they're never able to get, they have to do a lot of finding. And I've looked at a couple of mock drafts too, and nobody has a consistency on who they are probably going to pick. And I would just, I think they could also be primed too, to move up and grab one of those top end wide receivers. Because I mean, we were just talking about it. They need somebody who's going to be a little bit more of an impact player. Like Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson are like, they're up and down, right? Like one will have a couple good weeks. The other one will have a couple good weeks. I mean, I had Romeo Doubs on my team, on my fantasy team last year, and he just sat on my bench forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just didn't do it. Right. He didn't do enough over a series of weeks to show like, hey, this guy should be either in a wide receiver position or at the flex. And I just wonder that, are you going to get the same from Jordan Love this year that you did last year with the same group of guys? And who knows, their development might be going through the roof. Devontae Adams started a little slow in his development as well, but you knew he was going to project into something. I think Green Bay can kind of surprise everybody and go out and get a big impact player. I think that's what they need. If they were to go out and get like a Brock Bowers too, if they want to trade up that high, but you never know with them.
The one thing that makes me think this is not the route they'll go, though, is exactly what you said. Even though they pick in the lower tiers, they consistently are finding good pieces there, right? Because they already know they're not going to get any of those top guys, so they don't think about that in those terms. They see the value when it drops to them, right? And they pick up the value that's left over. It's
imagine kind of being like that being confident up to be like, we're going to be good, so we're not going to worry about the top 15 picks.
I mean, it's definitely a different philosophy, right? Which is also why I don't see them, because here's the other thing is, I don't see this team having such a giant hole to make them whole, right? Or a giant, you know, need that
a deficit, right?
Yeah, there's nothing there that's like glaring that you're like, if they could fill this spot. So I don't see them necessarily risking draft capital for that that opportunity.
Yeah. They're just perpetually there, man. They're just always good. And I hate it.
This is what an organization should look like.
It is fucking annoying, though, because it's like, why is it every single fucking year this team just never goes away, man? Like, they always sit these guys for a couple years and then they end up becoming really good quarterbacks.
They never spend any money.
Michael Myers of the football.
Like, just fucking die already.
Probably going to be moving on from the Packers to our last team, the Lions. But before we do that, any closing thoughts about the Packers? Anything you wanted to say that we haven't gotten to yet?
No.
I'm interested to see.
Go ahead, Gatto. I'm sorry.
The way in which they like, do they? I think they go offensive lineman, and then they go defense. I don't know if they add to that receiver room, and that's my one big worry. Is that they don't add anything to that receiver.
And that was the reason why Aaron Rodgers was annoyed by the time that he left, is they just wouldn't invest anything in the offense. I hope they draft a long snapper or something. Moving on. Yeah. I mean, he'll probably make like 7 all pro teams or whatever, but, last team here before we do that, again, just do us a favor and like and subscribe. Again, Play Breakers podcast, talk about football all the time and going to be doing it over the summer. Gatto, you got something to say?
And don't forget to subscribe to our Discord. It is the best place to aggregate through all of the best scoops, all of the latest and greatest updates going on in the football world. We have it broken out by teams. It's good stuff.
There is some really good stuff in there too. It's a nice way to be able to catch everything that's happening with other teams in a kind of a condensed place. Like, Gatto has done all of the work for you. So if you don't want to have to scroll around on the internet looking for information from the Arizona Cardinals, Gatto has already lost enough sleep finding all of their beat reporters to be able to do that for you.
There's over 100 sources on there. Yes.
Yeah. The man works for free.
this is what I wanted to use. I built this because I I wanted to use something that would give me those scoops. So I'm giving it to you. You just have to like and subscribe. Literally just do those two things. It's so
simple. For the love of the game. For the love of the game.
Seriously, all right. Though, let's keep it moving.
If you need a link, message us. We'd be happy to provide it to you. Last team here, Detroit Lions. So team that went to the playoffs, went to the NFC Championship game, lost to the 49ers. A lot of talent on this team. Definitely a feel-good team. We are old enough to remember the dark days in Detroit where they went winless. We also remember the times with Jim Schwartz where they were so back, they were never more back than they were then, and then it was over all over again.
It's over.
Now they are very much back. I'm going to start us off here because I have a thought that you have all kind of expressed already, but my opinion of this team this year is more important than last year for them because now they have to prove that they are actually back. We've seen teams go on a hot streak, have one good year, and then regress. I think this is the most important season that they've had in a very, very long time because they have to prove that this talent is for real and this team is for real. And frankly, this coaching staff is for real. I think we had talked about it at one point, their whole approach from Dan Campbell works, but we could also see it wearing on these guys pretty quick. And in bad seasons, it also, people might stop listening to it. That being said, I think they'll still be good, but this is a really, really critical year for them. Discuss.
Yeah, I mean, you know, ending the season the way they did and Dan Campbell making those very kind of strange decisions obviously kind of left, a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. So they really are going to have to get it figured out. And because there were so many times they were just so dominant and it just felt so weird. Why is this team seem like they struggle in the big moments? So and that's really the making of a good team, right? It's not your ability to dominate people in the regular season. Anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are great because of the fact that they understand the little things to be able to win in the postseason. And the Lions have not proven that yet. So, and again, I know that their window's not closed yet because they still have Goff, they still have Montgomery. That offensive line's really good, but every year, man, it's gonna take. It's the Cowboys. Remember when the Cowboys had that ridiculous offensive line? They were able to do anything offensively. Eventually, those guys get old. They get old quick, your window will shut really, really fast. So they need to capitalize here. This is their moment. So if this year they can't figure out how to figure out the little things, Ben Johnson staying again. There's only going to be a certain amount of time before he finally just decides, it's not working out here. I'm moving somewhere else. So,
yeah. It's actually funny you bring up the way the season ended for them, the Dan Campbell decisions and everything. Because I think when we look at this team and we set aside those, questionable calls, this team is extremely talented, extremely good. They should be winning the Super Bowl. And it actually makes me kind of worry if the biggest thing that they need this offseason is maybe some more level-headed coaching. Maybe Dan Campbell's a little too extreme at points. And I think we've talked about this. But I worry that that's their biggest thing, and that's not something they can get in the draft or build necessarily because it's part of his mindset. And I love his mindset. I love Dan Campbell. But these are things that I really worry about because it's those weird calls that take a great team that's performing great. And they're not dumb calls. They're just maybe too...
too extreme, I think is a word there.
They're too risky, yeah. Comparably, you know? And I know he balks at convention, but... You know, there's only so many motivational quotes that you can live by before It's just, you know, stock for your poor decision making.
Yeah. You can only run a team so long on like 1,000 milligrams of caffeine and skull long cut.
Dude, it's insane. That is such a risk. I mean, I hope that like whoever's like bringing him his like coffee throughout the day is like watering it down more and more with like decaf or something. Like he's not gonna be able to survive.
He might not last.
He's not gonna last. Like sleeping on heart palpitations hearing that he's drinking that much caffeine.
Yeah, like sleeping on like a cardboard box in his office, just all juiced up the whole time.
I imagine he actually like in his home, in his bedroom, like his wife sleeps on like a very nice plush sofa, but then or bed, but then he is literally sleeping on a slab of concrete, no pillow.
Just... He's sleeping on one of those like metal fold out chairs.
It's a prison cot without the cot part.
Yeah, without the mattress.
It's just the metal frame.
Oh. It's just chained to the wall.
He listens to, like, it's like My Cousin Vinny, where he like goes, he finally sleeps in the prison and he's like, he can fall asleep because of the sound of the prison riot. He's just got his headphones in and it's just like
prison riots.
Yeah, it's just prison riots in his head.
It's just the sounds of like cars crashing into each other. Somebody throwing garbage into like a giant dumpster. Anyway.
Just shoving it down into the drain.
Yeah.
Just garbage pouring compactor.
Paint into the public, pouring paint into a public drain. Honest question for you guys. I want to get your take on this, Q. I know that you mentioned this is Jared Goff's contract year. Has he shaken off the narrative of being a shitty quarterback?
I don't think he is. I don't think that should be. If that is the narrative on him, I don't think it should be. Because
I think the reason I bring that up because of the way that he was portrayed when he was drafted by LA, that like, this guy doesn't have it. And then also all of his success in LA was based off of
other people's doings.
Other people's doings, the coaches like calling plays for him in the headset. And then when he got to Detroit, everyone's like, "Ooh, I don't know if this is a good move. Like, you sure trading Stafford away was the best move?" I think he is a guy who's gotten a lot of flack over his career, but I'm looking at his numbers now. He's put together a pretty nice career, all things considered.
I think that's the narrative on Goff, is that like kind of similar to McCarthy, is that like he didn't really like do anything physically that wows you, right? Like he doesn't have the like elite level arm, and like his accuracy is really good, but like I wouldn't say he was like Chad Pennington in his prime or anything like that. But I think he does all the things that like he makes the people around him better, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think he has kind of like Stafford, believe it or not, has an ability to elevate his receivers. So like for me, I think he's gotten a lot of flack over his career, but and even I was like a little bit surprised that Detroit did what they did in trading Stafford, taking on Goff's contract, because it wasn't necessarily taking on Goff that was the thing; it was taking on his contract. And I almost thought he was just going to be a bridge guy for them, and they kept saying how much they believed in him and how much he was going to be their starting guy. And it just kind of felt like coach speak to me, but like, he's settled in. He's really good. So, like, honestly, at this point, I don't see a reason why you would move off of him. It's going to be tough with the contract because it's the Kirk Cousins thing, right? Like, are you paying for a guy that you think is just going to be good for you, or are you paying for a guy that you truly believe can win you a Super Bowl? Because that's the difference.
Yeah.
Eat your vegetables.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there is... It's hard because the numbers are compelling enough. Like, this is a guy that at least will put you in a position to be fighting for a Super Bowl. And I also want to point out, too, it's everyone was kind of iffy on him getting drafted 1-1. He's the only guy in that quarterback class that's actually worked out.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Noted Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch, just a bunch of goons in that draft. If I were the Detroit Lions, I would be comfortable having him as our quarterback, and I would try to re-sign him. And at the end of the day, the salary cap is going to go up every year. And that contract might look pretty expensive now. In 3 years, it will be mid. In the same way that we looked at Patrick Mahomes' contract and then Lamar Jackson's. However, we're not saying that for Deshaun Watson's. That thing still sucks.
It's going to suck for a long time, too.
Yeah, a very, very long time. But yeah. I don't know. Gatto, what you thinking?
I mean, that's – well, one, the whole Jared Goff thing, you know, the narrative of, like, somebody having to tell him what to do is not necessarily a terrible thing. That's what coaching is there for, right?
Yeah.
Now, the question is, can they take what is being told to them and then use it on the field, right? And in that case, I think a lot of coaches would feel blessed to have a guy like Jared Goff in that scenario, because he's literally able to go out there and do what you're asking him to do in those situations. And it's not like the asks for the Detroit Lions are small on him. It is quite often that they're going for it on fourth downs in long territory. It's not like they don't have faith in him when they're asking him to do things, you know? So, like, we forget about that part, I think, a little bit with how risky this offense plays it, that only shows or proves that Jared Goff is actually that good and worth it. And the crazy thing is, they're probably going to get a discount on him when they do go to re-sign him, because he's still got to shake that stupid narrative. So it's kind of unbelievable. In terms of where this team is going, I feel anything less though than a Super Bowl appearance is a disappointment at this point. Do you guys feel the same way?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Q.
No, I was just agreeing that, like, yeah, at this point, you with everybody staying, because most of the good teams get poached, right? Like, they're really good coordinators get poached. Ben Johnson has stayed. Offensive line still elite. Penei Sewell, and, you know, is arguably one of the best tackles in the league, if not the best. You have too many pieces in place now. You've had too many years where this team, this core has been together. If you can't get it going this year, I think there's going to be questions about whether it's ever going to happen.
Yeah. I hate to put that kind of pressure on a team that it's Super Bowl or bust, but that's kind of the game that we're playing here. And I'll echo what Q was saying too, because at a certain point, you're going to have to start paying these guys. You got to make some hard decisions. We just talked about Goff, him being one, but at some point, Aiden Hutchinson is going to have to get paid. You have David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, Gibbs just got drafted, but Montgomery is not going to be there forever. I feel like they've had a very, very short window of success. Like, I feel like the Bills window is open for like 5 or 6 years. This one feels like you got 2 years to do it. And it took so long for this team to build and grow and turn into what it is or what it was last year that it's almost unfair to them. Because, again, it took them so long to get there. And now it's like, we have to win, not tomorrow. We have to win right now. And we don't have any time to wait.
I mean, for the love of the league, they need to. Yeah. Because if I have to see another Niners friggin' Chiefs Super Bowl, I'm going to lose my shit.
I'm just going to turn on the Home Shopping Network and then just watch the highlights.
The Puppy Bowl is where it's at.
I'm just going to cut the grass that day in the rain.
In the snow.
And with an electric lawnmower. I can't do that again. I can't watch another bullshit Super Bowl where it's like, oh, the 49ers are going to win it. And then they just like, they just get vertigo and everybody collapses on the side.
They just shit their pants and...
and they all hold their hands and just pass out.
Just like, yo, Bagaya, and they all run to the bathroom.
Yeah. You can't eat the food in the stadium during the game. This is what's going to happen. But yeah, Gatto, I think you're right. Like it's a win now thing. And I'd also say too, probably for Dan Campbell as well. Like he's got to prove that he's not just like the Captain Insano. He's actually like a coach that can inspire teams over multiple years through thick and thin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I again, they're that team right now that is probably the biggest question marks for me because I don't know what they could really even do in free agency that would like necessarily like make me feel more confident about them. Because I already kind of feel confident about the team. It's more of coaching. It's more about leadership. So I need to see that Dan Campbell is going to be measured first.
Yeah. If they start out like 0-2, crisis mode immediately.
Yeah, it's people are going to start pointing fingers.
I think one thing that might be interesting for them is maybe potentially giving up their first round draft pick for a player on a team somewhere. That's something I feel like drafting a piece is not the move for them necessarily because, like we said, this is all right now, right here, right now, and this team might do best going out and getting an established piece, maybe even just a little furnishing.
T. Higgins, you are a Detroit Lion.
That is actually a good one. That's a juicy one.
Donovan Peoples-Jones, grab that luggage. You're bringing it on the bus. Hold this towel.
Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Isn't he on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just signed him.
Yeah.
I would have to think T. So random. Getting off track here, but I'd have to think T. Higgins is traded on draft day. No.
I don't know because I think that Cincinnati definitely values him. So I think they might just try and see, you know, play chicken with him and hope that he just ultimately, you know, takes whatever's out there. And I don't know. It's a hard one.
Yeah, it's classic Cincinnati Bengals move of just like refusing to pay guys and then having them be upset with you. So I could very easily see the Lions saying like, hey, he doesn't want to play for you. We'll give him a contract. But then that gums up the works for everybody else there too. So,
yeah,
as they say, we'll see what happens with them. But we're coming up on time here, guys. Anything else to add about either the Lions or the other teams in the NFC North or just the NFC North in general?
Nope. If there is not a team in the NFC North in the Super Bowl this year, it would be a very bad look for the NFL. That's a take. That's a take.
Yeah. That's a big take right there. All right, folks. Well, that does it for us for another episode of Playbreakers. Thanks for tuning in this week. Really appreciate your ears and also your thoughts. Let us know who you want us to cover next. The draft is coming up, and we might need to press pause on our divisional breakdowns to talk more about the NFL draft and the reactions to it. Do us a favor and like and subscribe on your favorite streaming platform. You can also find us on YouTube, but also Gatto had mentioned the Discord. You can jump in there and catch all the action on there as well for your favorite team or just shit talk in general. But that does it for us, folks, and we'll see you later.
Bye. Thank you.